Mishnah Dalet is 10 spheres of nothingness. Their measure is 10 that have no end, depth of beginning, depth of afterwards, depth of good, depth of evil, depth of height, depth of below, depth of east, depth of west, depth of south, depth of north. And one master, Ken Melech Neman, Lord, faithful sovereign, rules them all from his holy abode until the time until. So, as we'll see, that this is my translation of the Hebrew. I mean, for instance, the phrase until the time until is ad aday ad. So we'll see what that means. But let's first take a look at the preface to Mishnah Dalet. Achre his biroi spheres hadas, sheik my geshe bein spheres hakesel shara tesfiris. After looking in Mishnah Gimel at the sephira of das, which is a bridge between the sephira of Gesher, of Keser, and the other 10 sephirot. But the sphere of Dad, as we said, is not one of the, is not counted amongst the numbers. We said 10 and not 11, 10 and not 9. Now, Chozel Roi Shoinian, the Mishnah goes back to the beginning, Lefarish, to explain, Echis Pashto Horotz Naposhet, how the simple desire from which everything flows, how that spread the Hisavo and thickens into the space of the universe. Hine Isa, we learn in the Gemara Masechta Nida, Dorash Rav Simloi. Rav Simloi said, Lama Vlad Doime Bime Imoi, to what does the fetus resemble? What is it most like in the womb of its mother? Lepinkas, it looks like a ledger, Shemekupal, that's folded up. Umunach, and it lays the Yodov al Shteitzdov, its hands on its two temples. Shtei Atzilov al Beis Erkvoisov, the two armpits are on the two knees. Beis Ikvov al Beis Erkvoisov, and the baby's two heels are on its buttocks. Veroshe Munach leBein Birkov, and its head lays between its knees. Pivsosum, its mouth is closed, v'taburoi posuach, and its navel is open. V'oichum emashim ha'yecheles, it eats what its mother eats, v'shoysim emashim ha'shoysen, and drinks what its mother drinks. V'einu moitzirei, but it doesn't pass any feces, shemo yaregis ima, because if it was processing food through its own gut, then it would kill the mother. V'kivin sh'yotze la'or avir ha'olam, once the baby comes out into the avir ha'olam, into the space, into the world, into the air, niftach ha'sosim, then what is closed opens up, v'nistam ha'pasuch, and what is open closes. She'en moleken, because if that were not so, eni yuchel lechyos afilo sh'achas, the baby would not be able to live even 1 hour. While the baby's in the womb, Rab Simloi says, Ner Doluk al Roishoi, there is a light burning over its head like a candle. V'tsoife umabit misoife oilam atsoife, and baby looks and can peer out and see from the end of the world to the end. Shinem, as it is written, Behiloi Neiroi ale Roishi. In the book of Job, he talks about those days when he was in the womb. And he says, "Behiloi neiroi ale roishi," when God's light was shining over my head, "lo oiroi ele choshech," and to His light I could go in the dark. So, the Gemara is already thinking about Reb Simloi's medrash and saying, "Interesting. What's the meaning of to look and see from one end of the world to the other?" Ve'al titame, which is not so marvelous. Shehari odem yoshen kan, a person can be asleep here in Babylon. V'roya cholim baspamya, and he can see in his dream that he's in Spain. So, in other words, the Gemara is already interpreting Rab Simloi that we don't mean literally that the baby can see through the skin of the mother and see on the other side of the world, but rather that there's an ability to imagine across time and space. V'einu chayomim sh'odem shori b'toive, and at no time in a person's life are they in as much goodness and pleasure, me'oisen ayomim, than those 9 months. Shenema, as it's written there, Job bemoaning his fate, he says, mitneni ki achekelim, oh, who could give me back those months that I enjoyed, Ki me Eloha yishmereni, those days that God was guarding over me. Ve'ezu yomim sheyesh behem yirochem. So the Gemara says, what's Eyov talking about? Is he talking about his childhood? No, because he talks about days and months. So, ezu yomim sheyesh behem yirochem ve'emem shanim. What period of life is measured in days and months, but not in years? Have oim eliyah cheleded, these are the 9 months of gestation. Gemara goes on, umlamdin oisi kol ha-Torah kulo, and the angels teach baby the whole of the Torah. Shenema, v'yoireini, and he taught me, v'yoimeli, and he said to me, tam chudvorei, libcho, my words will support your heart, shmoir mitzvoisei, guard my mitzvahs, v'chiei and live. V'oimer, and it also says, that besoid Eloiha alei oiholi, in the mystery of God above my tent. My voimet. So the Gemara says, so why, if you've already proved that baby learns everything, why bring another verse to prove the same thing? So the Gemara says, v'chitemen novi hu dekoma, just in case you mistake the first quote as being the prophet himself saying that God says to the prophet, you follow, you know, I'll support you if you keep what I'm teaching you. So then he brings the second verse, which is talking about while he's in the womb, he's in the mystery of God. The kibun shibola avihu oilam, when baby comes into the air, bo malach v'sotrei al pif, an angel comes and strikes him, slaps him on the mouth, umeshakcha kol ha-Torah kulo, and makes him forget the whole Torah. So the trauma of childbirth is such that baby forgets whatever it was that he knew. Shenema, as it is written, the pesach hatos roivetz, at the entry, sin crouches. Ve'enu yotzei misham, but baby doesn't leave the womb, ad shemashbiim oisei, until they make him take an oath. As it is written, ki li tichra kol berach, to me has to bow every knee, tishova kol loshon, to me has to swear every tongue, ki li sichra kol berach zayem amisa, to me has to bow every knee, that refers to the day that we all die, when we cannot remain upright. As it is written, in front of him, before God, have to bend, have to kneel, all those who go down to dust. Tishova Koloshin, so then this expression of to me, have to swear all tongues, Zeyoim Haleda, that refers to the day of birth. Shenema, as it is written, Nekichapayim, clean hands, ubar levov, impure of heart, ashleinosu lashav nafshi, that has never carried me in vain, leinishba lemirma, and has never sworn untruthfully. So that refers to who could be pure of heart and never having previously sworn in vain. That could only be a baby. Mahi hashvua shemashbienoisei, so what's this oath that they make baby swear? Tihi tzadik v'al tihi rosho. Be tzadik and don't be rosho. Meaning, believe that you are a tzadik, and that you can be a tzadik, and that you don't have to be a rosho. V'afilu kol ha'olim kulo oyrim l'cho tzadikato. On the other hand, if everybody's telling you what a saint you are, heye b'necha k'rosho, don't believe them. Think to yourself, oh no, I'm still a rosho. V'yideya, and know shakodesh baruch hu tohar, that God is tahor. U'msharos of tohirim, and God's servants are tohirim. V'neshama shenitin b'chot tohirim, and the neshama that you are given is also tahor. And there's no real translation of the word tahor, pure or whatever, but it's not really a translation. It's clean. Imat meshamru b'taharo, and if you keep your soul b'taharo good, v'imlav v'reinu noitlochum mimcho, and if not, I'm going to take it from you. That's the quote from the Talmud. Hinei b'droshes Rav Simloi, if you look at this drosh of Rav Simloi, it's not just an attempt to describe, you know, prenatal whatever, but it's also a description of the world, a nascent world. Yesh b'gufa o b'esu b'chinois, there are 10 levels that he describes in the baby. Ben yodov, that's the hands of the temples, atzilov, the armpits, akvois of the elbows, ikva of the heels, akvois of the buttocks, roishoi, hands, birka of knees, piv, the mouth, taburoi, and the navel. And these correspond to the 10 spheres of blima that we're going to encounter in our Mishnah. And you should know that when the Pasuk says, Besoyed in the mystery, Eloikale Oiholi of God on over or in my tent, that is the mystery of childbirth. Veda. You should know, Shekamosha Havlad Mekupula Munach Kepinkas, just as the baby is folded up like a ledger, Dahaina Mekupul Gimu Pa'omem. If you imagine the baby, his knees are bent, his hips are bent, right? So that makes three parts of the ledger on the one side. V'oid pam echad, and then a fourth time, the head is bent down to come between the knees. So the ten sefiros that we're talking about in our Mishnah, they're also folded up in this fetal position. And just as at this point, the baby, it doesn't take his nourishment or anything through his mouth, but rather through the navel. And doesn't process food through his gut. But everything goes back through the umbilicus. So the ten sefirot that we talk about in Sefer Yetzirah are also in the nascent stage, and they don't operate the way they would as normally. That is to say that the way they operate now, that here in the Sefer Yetzirah we're talking about an embryonic world. If we talk about the Torah that a baby is being taught in the womb of his mother, there's nothing we can really say about that Torah. Because the Torah that we have comes from a higher source called Chochmah Eloh. Because the Gemara says, the Medrash says that the Torah that we were given at Sinai, that is really an unripe version of the great Chochmah that exists. So because originally humans were to have received the Torah after 1,000 generations, but God saw that there had to be an intervention because the way humans were progressing, there was a danger that things would go irreparably wrong. So God intervened and gave the Torah to the 26th generation. So there are 974 generations unborn. That was supposed to have been the evolution of humans, and then we would have been ready for the Torah. As it was, we are given an unripe Torah. So, the Torah that baby is being taught in the womb, that is the Chochmah Eloh. That is the ripe version. And the one that we had is Echad Mishishim Torah Eloh, 1/160. So, then what can we learn from this? This is what as much we can learn from that medrash that the baby is being taught. And this is the reason that I brought this medrash here, because this is what we can learn and apply to the Mishnah. One, a child learns bit by bit that there is beginnings and there is whatever comes after a beginning, an ending. Baby realizes that things begin and things end. And that's even before baby's born, he or she learns this because of mom sleeps and then she wakes up, there are sounds that begin, people talk. There's, sounds outside the house, inside the house. Mom raises her voice, speaks quiet. There's a lot of things that baby learns. But primarily, beginnings and endings. And then, at second level, child learns tov l'ra, good and bad. There are things that baby enjoys in the womb, v'roitzeh behem, and wants those things. And there are things, loud noises, sudden noises, certain kinds of movements or whatever, certain kinds of food, baby does not enjoy. So there's already an awareness of what is interpreted as good and bad. And then at a third level, Makish Yesh Malo Mato Punim V'Ochav Yomin, a small baby begins to realize that there is a difference between being upside down and one side up and front and back. And baby can tell when his mother is lying one way or another way. In other words, begins to feel the effects of gravity. And that, as we're going to see, are the basis of the Mishnah that we're about to learn. Ba'al kola Torah shemlamdim oisa oin omen. And the baby says omen to whatever Torah is being taught. It's the only word that a person can speak, that a fetus can speak with a mouthful of amniotic fluid. You can say amen just by moving your lips and your tongue. She'enet tzorich lehev lapeh, you don't need to breathe, to say, to whisper, or to move your mouth in the movement of amen. V'haruach rak hakimas v'sayim v'haloshen, all you need is to move your lips and your tongue. Ubo kel melech neman, and the Mishnah talks about the phrase melech neman, shuro sh'teves amen, that's aleph mem nun, which is amen, to teach us something about this mystery. So the rotzen haposhet that we described at the very beginning of the Sefer Yetzirah, we talk about the simple desire. So it begins to manifest in the Sefirah of Keter Elyon, v'nimshecho, and continues down to Keter Malchus, to the final Sefirah. Shehu rotzen lekabo, which is we experience Keter Malchus as the desire to receive. So the rotzen haposhet, the simple desire, is not a desire to receive. It's desire. We say it's simple because it's simple. Ve'eino ne'atzeres lo'olam, and it doesn't stop. It cannot be stopped. It flows. It's the divine flow. However, misgashim v'hoylech derech etz hadas, the simple desire flows through the tree of life, shehiyam shochem esfiris hakesed esfiris tiferes, which is that line that flows downwards from the sefira, the supernal sphere of Keter Elyon, down through the sphere of tiferet glory, which is rotzen lehetiv. There it manifests as the desire to do good or to benefit, to give. The derech sfiris yisod, and then it flows through the sefira of yisod, fundament, shirotzen lechaber, which is the desire to connect, be connected. The yiporid l'shnei roshim, and it splits into two streams, dahinu yetzer toiv v'yetzer ra, the good desire and the evil desire. Sefiras hachochma, and that is the sefira of chochma, which is Maim Elyonim Tachtonim, the upper waters and the lower waters. Vehem Kamoi Levushim, the Rotzen Haposhet, and these waters are the clothing for the simple desire. Vehakeli Lahochil Toivara, and then the vessel that holds the water of these two desires, the Sphere Sabina Belev. That's the sphere that we call Bina, and it's in the heart. Shaboy Merim Amorid Atoy V'Hara, because it's in the heart that we can either raise or bring down good and evil. Kivisichloi V'Rotzen Shabavovai, according to what's in our mind and the desires that are in our heart. V'Havalev K'moy Levush L'Shnei Yitzrim, so the heart becomes the clothing, the heart, which is the Sefira of Bino, becomes the clothing for these two warring, so to speak, desires of good and evil. And then the desire comes in face and back, which that's the sefira of chesed and the sefira of gevura. So the face is chesed and the rear is gevura. Because there are, in the Kabbalah it talks about the different ways that it's possible to do zivug, to join, the sexual joining, face to face, face to back, and back to back. So what does it mean? Ponim beponim pirushoi shibritzoinam shneim doimim lazeleze. When two people have the same purpose and the same desires for one another, then when they join, that's called face to face. And if they have the identical purpose in coming together, then that is called the zivug of face-to-face, ponim b'ponim. Ve'im ha'kavona shel echad mi'hamizavkim einem matim l'shneim, and if one of the other ones, if one of the people, if one of the couple has thoughts that doesn't match what they're doing. Ubechetzom yesh le'echad rotzen she'en l'shein. If one of them has desires that the other one doesn't have, as a zivug ubebechinas ponim ba'ocha, then the zivug is at the level of face to back. Right, so let's say one of the couple is there to make a baby and the other one isn't. Right? So that is, then the two of them are not coming together for the same purpose, right? So that would be considered ponim ba'ocha, face to back, because one thinks that he knows or she knows what her partner is thinking, but her partner has another purpose in mind. And so there's something going on that one isn't aware of, that one is hiding. So there, that is a coupling of face. One of them is in hiding, and then the other is back, right, face to back. But if two people come together, and there's nothing equal in their zivuk, and each of them means something else in this coupling, also beginnes oche b'oche, then it's at the level of back to back. So what is it that decides what the status of a zivug is? That is the desire, right? If they share their desire, then it's face to face, and if not, then not. We have a chesed and gvura. So chesed and gvura in this sense, kmo levushim lerotzen haposhet lehashpia, varotzen haposhet lekabel. So the sphere of chesed is the desire to give, and the rotz, and then gevura would be the desire to receive. In this, to take or to give, right? The sphere of netzach, then the sphere of netzach and hoid would be like netzach is, we usually translate it as eternity or victory. That is the desire to begin. The sphere of hoid, and the sphere of hoid, which is beauty, rotz and ligmoy, that's the desire to end, to finish. When a person can learn to recognize when in himself he's encountering the different types of desire, the desire to give, desire to receive, desire to begin, desire to end, and so on, then Margish Ba'atzmai Tavnison V'Dmuson, and a person recognizes their shape and can feel them as they flow through him, then he acquires the ability to clothe himself in these sephiras, to be in imitatio Deo, to copy or imitate his creator, to do his will. So that's the psiche, that's the preface to Mishnah Dalet. So Mishnah Dalet begins, es sephiras belima, 10 spheres of nothingness, Midosan Eser, their measure is 10 she'en them soft that have no end. Oimik Reshis, depth of beginning. Oimik Achris, depth of end. Oimik Toiv, Oimik Ra, depth of good and depth of evil. Oimik Roim, Oimik Tachas, depth of height and depth of below. Oimik Mizrach, Oimik Marv, depth of east and depth of west. Oimik Tzofen, Oimik Doroim, depth of north and depth of south. V'odon Yochid, and one master, El Melech Nemon, Moshe Bikulon, a singular, faithful master, rules over them all, Mimoin Kotshoi, from his holy abode, Va'ad Adei Ad, and until forever. So let's go back and look at the notes. Note number 36, Esa Sefirois, back on page 25, the 10 sephirois, those shemani alem, those that we said in Mishnah Gimel, that they are 10 and not 11, 10 and not 9, and that they are crowned with the keter, which is the simple desire. Midosan eser, their measure is 10. But this, we're now on note 37. Kosh, the question is obvious. Im midosan tirgumoy miktza v'shir, if we say the word mida here means measure, then we say that their measure is 10, then what's the point in then saying she'en emsof, that have no, that infinite, right? If it's 10, it's not infinite. That's a contradiction in terms. You can't say, oh, they're 10, infinite. Void. Furthermore, Ma hoisiv ba'amri midoson esa. What did the Mishnah add by saying their measure is 10? He could have simply said, Esa spheres blima, 10 spheres of nothingness, she'en himself, or Esa, 10 that have no end. What's the word midoson here? Their measure. El pirish, so this is what I say, right? Shekol achas miyut spheres, lovish miyut spheres. Each one of the 10 spheres is dressed in the clothing of another 10. So the word mida here doesn't mean measure, but it's used in the sense that it's used in the Pesukim Vayikra, V'lovash ha-kohen midoi bad, and the kohen puts on his linen shirt. So the word mida means a shirt or a tunic. Shekol ha-sfiris yesh lehem levushin. So when the Mishnah says here, 10 sefiris of nothingness, midoson eser, it means their clothing is 10. Shekol sfir yesh lehem levushin. That each sphere has like shells of other spheres. The kalachas mehen oid yud medicine, each one of those has another 10. And that goes on ad infinitum, vizeh pirish esu shen himself. And now we understand the meaning of 10 without end. Umah he mahalavushin, so what are these clothings? Vama medubar, what are we talking about? Elo sheha spheres heim esu ritzoinis. As we're saying from the beginning, that the 10 sefiras represent 10 elements of desire, shoino izumizu, different from one another, kidbris lalon, as we will be explaining further on. So we said that they are 10 she'en lahem sof that have no end. Ulama v'lama daig sheho esa sefiras levushim esa mida she'en mesof. So why does the Mishnah need to tell us that they are 10 without end? Umahu alimud kan kol kach nochutz. What's so important about this teaching, Shehuske Kloimri Khan, that it requires saying here when we're about to talk about the depth of this and the depth of that? Because in the next part of the Mishnah is going to use the word acharis, which we normally translate as end, but we don't do that here. And She'ein Pirushay Oimek Soifi, because the Mishnah does not want us to use the word acharis in the same way that we would use the word sof, which means end, but rather achris, meaning what comes later, what comes afterwards. Lefikach higdim hadiyuk esu shen emsof. So therefore, the Mishnah uses the phrase sof, ein sof, without end. Kidei shiyuven shemilas achris. So then we will understand that when the Mishnah yet later uses the word achris, ein pirushi sof, it means something other than end, as we will see. The next note, oimik reishis, depth of beginning. Pirish harotzen haposhut shu b'chinas kese elyon, that even though there's not much we can say about kete elyon, because as we said, it's the ein, it's that which is not, and there's not a lot you can say about that which is not. Nevertheless, yesh lo reishis, it has a beginning. Everything has a beginning but God. V'haschol aboyim imenis baruch, it comes from God and begins with God, and therefore it's called the depth of beginning. Rishis inin hegdim, when we say beginning, we mean that there was something that came before it, and that is God alone. V'oimik achris, and there is the depth of what comes afterwards. V'ein lo sof v'ticha, but that has no end. Ela achris. Achris doesn't mean end. Achris means hemshech. It means continuity. It's the opposite of end. V'hu ki arotz naposhet yesh lahemshech zmani, because the simple desire of God has this duration and continuation. U'mimena tamshech inyan hazman, and it's from this idea of the continuity of the simple desire that there later comes the idea of time, shehu soid shono, which is the mystery of the year in oilam nefesh and shona kedel halon, as we will be explaining later. And that is the world that we live in, is the world of time, which is the world of the sphere of Keter Malchus. V'zeh pirush ha'posuk b'kedushas keser shebemusaf. If you look at the kedusha in the siddur on Shabbos or Yontif, the kedusha by the Hasidim is called the kedushas keser, right? We say keser yitnu lucha, but the Ashkenazim, they have a different beginning, but they have the same end. And it says, Hein go'alti eschem, behold, I have redeemed you, says God. Achris kereshis, in the end as in the beginning. But if we understand the word achris not to mean the end as in soif, but rather what comes afterwards. Sha'arotzen ha'pushin nimshach mikeser elyon le'olam. God is saying that that very same desire which flowed at the beginning of Keter, that is the same desire which now flows at the end of Keter, which is into the Sephira of Malchus. And therefore, the redemption that flows is also a continuous one. So the first two depths are Keter Elyon and Keter Malchus, which is Oimik Reshis and Oimik Achris, the depth of beginning and the depth of afterwards. Keter Malchus is not an end, but it's an after. And then the second series, the second couple of depths is Oimik Toiv v'Oimik Ra, the depth of good and depth of evil. So this is the Sephira of Chochmah. We learn in the Mishnah, in Ovois, Ben Zoymus says, Ezu hu Chocham, who is wise, who has Chochmah, Haloimed mikol Adam, who can learn from everybody. What do we mean, everybody? Haloimed mikol Adam, who can learn from the whole person. A Chocham is somebody who can learn from all of himself, which means he can learn from his Yetzer Tov, from his good desires, and he can learn Mietzera, from his evil desires. Kumama Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, like the Baal Shem Tov says, and this is a mama, this is a saying of the Baal Shem Tov that is repeated often in the works of the students and in his grandson, the Degel Machne Ephraim. The Baal Shem Tov interpreted the Mishnah of Ben Zoyma. Ben Zoyma says, Ezu Chocham, who is wise, Elohim Mikol Odom. The Baal Shem Tov used to say, what is Mikol Adam? Not from everybody, but from the whole person. The person has to learn from all parts of himself. What does it mean? Sha'aretzoin is kulam b'mekoyo achas shoshim, because all our desires, they come from the same source. U'bishvil ha'shinoy hazeh lehamama, if we go back to the Mishnah is a compilation of sayings, particularly the Mishnah of Ovois, the ethics called the Ethics of the Fathers. And it's a collection of sayings attributed to different Tanoim. So Rebbe attributes this Ezu Chocham Aroya Uloimed Mikol Adam, who is wise, who can learn from everybody. So the truth is, if you remember, we were learning back in Mishnah Gimel, there was a quote from the Gemara that I brought down, that Alexander the Great encountered the Chachamim, and he asked them certain questions, and that dialogue is recorded in the Gemara, and in its entirety, like this Mishnah that's attributed to Ben Zoyma, except for this one saying, that when Alexander asked the Chachamim, Ezu Chocham, who's wise, they answered, Haroya es Hanoilet, who's wise is somebody who sees what's going to be born. That Chochmah is connected with seeing the future. Whereas here, Ben Zoyma says, Ezu Chocham, Haloimed Mikol Adam. And on the basis of that small change that Ben Zoyma makes, Rabbi attributes this whole saying to him. B'shvil ha'shin hazeh ha'mama mevi'a Rebbe HaKodesh b'mishnah Ovis, v'yichseg kule l'Reb Shimon Ben Zoyma, and he gives it the whole thing, attributes it to Shimon Ben Zoyma, af o'pi she'ha'chachomim doshu sikvar rabu kukuloi arba me'eshon ha'koidim l'chein. Even though the Chachamim had already had this dialogue 400 years previously with Alexander the Great, Kedilel b'Mishnah Kedem, Shechidish, what is this novelty? What did Ben Zoyma add to the dialogue that made it his? He said that the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Toiv, they are the primary teachers that we have. Our own desires are our teachers. And how did Ben Zoyme come on this? He said that because Ben Zoyme had this problem himself, because we learn in the Gemara in Gittin, Ein Odom Oymed Al Divrei Toira Elim Kin Nichshu Behem. A person never really gets to the bottom of a Dvar Toira until he stumbled, right? In other words, we never really get it until we lose it, right? So we make mistakes, and we learn from our mistakes, and we stumble, and then we know something that we didn't know. So that even though somebody can know something intellectually, but we don't really know it viscerally until we've experienced. And very often that applies to Torah mitzvahs, right? So we don't know what an avera is and how to guard ourselves from it until we've broken the Torah, right? But there, Tamam Reb Shua, so Ben Zoyme is the one who learns the deepest lesson that the teacher, the ultimate teacher, are in fact the Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra. With that Tamam Reb Shua, the Gemara talks about an encounter. You know, Ben Zoyme was one of the four who went together with Rabbi Akiva into paradise. And the Gemara says only Rabbi Akiva came out whole. The others were damaged or died. And Ben Zoyme went mad. And the Gemara says Reb Shua had an encounter with Ben Zoyme, and he says, Adayin Ben Zoyme Mibuchutz, and he told his students, no, Ben Zoyme is still, he's still insane. Why? Shetzofo ben maim elyonim lemaim tachtonim kishulish etzpoes, because Ben Zoyme said, when Rabbi Yehoshua said to him, what are you doing? He said, look, I'm looking at the sky, and I could see that between the upper waters and the lower waters, there's a distance of three fingers' breadth. So Rabbi Yehoshua said, nah, Ben Zoyme is still mad. What does it mean to see a gap between the upper waters and the lower waters? That is to see a difference between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. Ki amayim hem b'chinas teshuka, because water, as we've said often, water is a metaphor for desire, v'chemda, and longing. As we learned, those of us who've learned me'ashiloich have come across it many times. Usfiras ha'chochmo, and the sefira of chochmo, Husoid Amayim, that's where all the water is. Kedalalom b'Mishnah Yud, as we will be learning in Mishnah Yud. V'oimik toiv v'ra, shorosh m'chochma. So then the roots of good and evil are in chochma, in that water. Ki yehevdol ben cheshik toiv v'cheshik ra, hu dak dak moid. Because the difference, the distinction, the line between good desire and bad desire is a very, very fine one. Because sometimes a little stupidity is more precious than a whole lot of wisdom. Because there is room, there's a place for the Yetzer Hara. And this is something which is very deep. And that's why the Mishnah calls it Oymek, the depth of good and the depth of evil. Behind the Kamam Perik Beis Mishnah Beis, and as we come into the next chapter, Chapter 2, Mishnah 2, we'll see there, I bring the Zohar. It talks about the shape of the Aleph, that there's a difference in the shape of the Aleph between before the sin and after the sin, and that is connected with this Oymek Tov and Ra that we are talking about here. So the next series of depths is Oymek Roim and Oymek Tachas, the depth of height and the depth of below. And it's not top and bottom, right? Again, we're not going from extreme to extreme because we're talking about the sphere of Bina, understanding. Ve'en oimim malamata, it doesn't say top and bottom, ela roim, height, v'tachas, and underneath. Ki atachas mat misyachas leroim, because underneath relates to height, b'diyuk moshe achas misyachas lereshis, exactly the way that afterwards relates to beginning. We're not talking about from one end of the world. We're not talking about separated 180 degrees. That's not what we were talking about. You could talk about something, the underneath of the height, right? Your ceiling also has an underneath. Your sky also has an underneath. We're not going from one end to the other. Right, so the next Oymek Acharis, Oymek Toiv, Oymek Ra, Oymek Roim, Oymek Tachas, Oymek Mizrach, Oymek Marav. So the depth of east and depth of west. These are the spheres of Chesed and Gevura, which are the face and the back. You see, without telling us, the Mishnah is assuming, see, in the ancient times, you know, when people imagined standing, what's the natural position, right? So you and I, we grew up, you know, in a post-magnetic world. And all our maps, you know, all our newspapers, all our books, all our television, every image that we have, we always imagine the arrow facing north. And nobody has to tell you, really, when you look at a map, that the top of the page is north, and the right-hand side of the page is east, and the left-hand side is west, and the bottom of the page is south, because that's how we are indoctrinated and conditioned. But that is not how it was in the natural world, right? If you live in a world without magnetic compasses, then the natural way to stand is facing east. You face the sun, and then behind you is the sunset. And that's how ancient people, when they imagine the world and they imagine maps of the world, you are facing east. So therefore, Oimek Mizrach and Oimek Marav, the depth of east and depth of west, that will be your front and back. Oimek Tzofoin v'Oimek Dorim, Oimek Tzofoin, the north will be your left-hand side. And Oimek Dorim, the south will be your right-hand side. So Chesed is associated with the south. And that's why that's the side of Netzach, of knowing when to begin. And the north is associated with Gevura, with holding, and therefore there's no sunlight in the north. And that is associated with endings. El Melech Neeman, this is note number 46. And this, going back to what we talked about in the Psicha and the preface to the Mishnah, the baby in its mother's womb has a light over its head, and sees from one end of the world to the other end. His light shines over my head. This is the mystery of El Melech Neeman. Because, as we said, these are the letters of the word Amen. And God dwells over everything. Mema'oin Kotshoi. In Mishnah Yud Aleph, we're going to be talking about why it chooses the word Ma'on when it's talking about God's dwelling place. Va'ad Adei Ad. Until, right? Shema Mishnah Zu Bonu Al Soid Hamokim V'Ha'es. Because here in the Mishnah, really, we've begun to talk about space and time. Bechinas misoifa oilam at soifa, from one end of the world to the other. You know, when we use that phrase, because we use it a lot in the Medrash, right, in the Gemara, misoifa oilam at soifa, from one end of the world to the other, what does it mean? Is it talking about in time, from the beginning to the end, or are we talking about space? We're talking about dovar she'enoi Mugbil b'metzias, because neither of those two really has an end, right? Time doesn't have an end or a beginning. And space doesn't have, especially if we're talking about our imagination. So therefore, when we talk about God rules over it, until the time until, or until the place until, then we're talking about the interface between our imagination and reality. Is there an end to space? Theoretically, there is. In practice, it's very hard to imagine such a thing being. Should we begin Mishnah Hay, or should we stop and talk about what we were learning? Perhaps it's